Efforts to understand past collapses have had to confront one major controversy: resistance to the idea that past peoples did things that contributed to their own decline. Not surprisingly, native Hawaiians and Maoris don't like paleontologists telling them that their ancestors exterminated half of the bird species on Hawaii and New Zealand. The supposed discoveries by paleontologists and archaeologists sound to some listeners like just one more racist pretext advanced by whites for dispossessing indigenous peoples. Not only indigenous peoples, but also some anthropologists and archaeologists who study them and identify with them view the recent supposed discoveries as racist lies. Some of them instead insist that past indigenous peoples were gentle and ecologically wise stewards of their environments, innocently lived in a virtual Garden of Eden, and could never have done all those bad things. Only those evil modern First World inhabitants are ignorant of nature, don't respect the environment, and destroy it. In fact, past peoples were neither ignorant bad managers nor conscientious environmentalists. They were people like us, facing problems broadly similar to those that we now face. Of course, it's not true that all societies are doomed to collapse because of environmental damage. In the past, some societies did while others didn't. The real question is what distinguished those that collapsed from those that didn't. I don't know of any case in which a society's collapse can be attributed solely to environmental damage. There are always other contributing factors. When I began to plan this book, I didn't appreciate those complications, and I naively thought that the book would just be about environmental damage. Eventually, I arrived at a 5-point framework of possible contributing factors that I now consider in trying to understand any putative environmental collapse. 4 of those sets of factors, environmental damage, climate change, hostile neighbors, and friendly trade partners, may or may not prove significant for a particular society. The 5th set of factors, the society's responses to its environmental problems, always prove significant. A society's responses depend on its political, economic, and social institutions, and on its cultural values. Those institutions and values affect whether the society solves or even tries to solve its problems. In this book, we shall consider this 5-point framework for each past society whose collapse or persistence is discussed. I was born in Boston and had never been west of the Mississippi until the age of 15, when my parents took me to spend a few weeks of the summer in Montana, in the Big Hole Basin just south of the Bitterroot Valley. I was immediately overwhelmed by the Big Hole setting, a broad, flat valley floor covered with meadows and meandering creeks, but surrounded by a wall of seasonally snow-covered mountains rising abruptly on every horizon. 3 years later, while I was a student in college, I came back for the summer with 2 college friends and my sister, and we worked on the hay harvest, I driving a scatter rake, my sister a buck rake, and my 2 friends stacking hay. After that summer in 1956, it was a long time before I returned to Montana. Finally, in 1998, I happened to receive an invitation from a private, non-profit foundation called the Teller Wildlife Refuge in the Bitterroot Valley. I reconnected to Montana. Since then, my wife and sons and I have been visiting Montana every year, drawn to it ultimately by the unforgettable beauty of its big sky. Montana in general and the Bitterroot Valley in the southwest are a land of paradoxes. Among the lower 48 states, Montana is the 3rd largest in area, yet the 6th smallest in population. Today, the Bitterroot Valley looks lush, belying its original natural vegetation of sagebrush. Ravalli County, in which the valley is located, is so beautiful and attracts so many immigrants from elsewhere in the U.S., that it is one of our nation's fastest-growing counties. Yet 70% of its own high school graduates leave the valley, and most of those leave Montana. Some of the people recently establishing homes in the valley are extremely wealthy, but Ravalli County is nevertheless one of the poorest counties in the state of Montana, which in turn is nearly the poorest state in the U.S. Many of the county's residents find that they have to hold 2 or 3 jobs, even to earn an income at U.S. poverty levels. We associate Montana with natural beauty, Indeed, environmentally, Montana is perhaps the least damaged of the lower 48 states. Nevertheless, the Bitterroot Valley presents a microcosm of the environmental problems plaguing the rest of the United States. If even Montana has environmental and population problems, it becomes easier to understand how much more serious those problems are elsewhere in the U.S.